Hello, Robin Sheridan, Spirit Whisperer of Higher Consciousness, helping people connect to their hearts, their minds, their bodies, and souls. I am so truly grateful that all of you have been listening to my podcasts over the last year, and I hope you are all enjoying the new series, The Coffee Chat. As an intuitive reader, healer, medium, Akashic soul practitioner, and Reiki master, I know how important it is to bring spirituality into your entrepreneurial business. So sit back and relax and enjoy my guests. Hello, everyone. This is Robin Sheridan with another wonderful woman for my coffee chats. I am so excited to have Sue Henry here. I took one of her challenges on Facebook and I absolutely fell in love with this woman. So, Sue, thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you, Robin. I am so excited to be here. So thank you. It's an honor. It's a treat. And, you know, my company is Sue Henry Talks, so you know you're not going to get the silent treatment from me on this.
Well, I'm glad because now I know I'm not going to have to poll for conversation. I love it when I actually have a real coffee chat between women. So go ahead, Sue. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey.
So I live in Minnesota. We live in southeast Minnesota. We are organic grass-only dairy farmers, and that's kind of like my side gig. I am a mom of six, a glamma of six, and I have my own business as a speaker and coach. It's been an interesting journey because even though way back when I was in my teens, I knew I wanted to be a speaker, the stars didn't align. And it took a while, decades, for what was in my heart to finally become so strong that it overcame my fears. And I allowed myself to be in a position where opportunities came to me. It wasn't that it was like, oh, and it just fell into my lap. It was a lot more like than that. But I think all of you have experienced the same thing, you know, and it's an evolution. It's a journey. And I don't call it work. I call it an adventure. And I call it an adventure because when we talk about work or we talk about obstacles or when we talk about, oh, I'm going through this trial or this was an issue or this was a problem, then it kind of drags us down. But when you're out for an adventure, what happens? You're open to what happens and you go with the flow. And how much more fun does that make the journey?
Oh, yeah. It was just brought to my attention that I forgot what it was like to be that teenager and that 20-year-old and that early 30-year-old who loved adventures and loved going out and trying new things. But could you tell us kind of what happened? You mentioned that you wanted to be a speaker and then something happened that kind of created maybe a little bit of fear or insecurity.
Yeah, and an acute embarrassment, mortification. Yeah, so I had this opportunity when I was a senior in high school. Back in the day, yep, I'm this old, is they didn't have the codes or they didn't have the dates, expiration dates on our food. And so there was some kind of a study that they were having people who lived in these small towns, which I was one, go to their local grocery stores and take the code that was on the top of the baby food jars and write it down. And then they gave you this translation so that you could come up with what the real code was. And it was surprising how much baby food at the time was actually expired. And this is what people are, and we're talking like name brands. These are off brands. Oh, excuse me. And so I was in the situation and I was one of six teenagers chosen from the U.S. to go to the Biltmore Hotel in Los Angeles, California, and share my results. And I had been sitting there, one of the things that they wanted me to share was I had been sitting there writing down these codes, and a woman came into the store. Now, this was a town of about 2,000 people. She came into the local grocery store, opened up a baby food jar, put her finger in it, tasted it, didn't like it, put the lid on and put it back on the shelf. I mean, can you believe it? And I was just amazed, and she totally ignored me because I was a kid. What did I know? You know, so she wasn't even embarrassed or feeling guilty about it. So anyway, I'm at the Biltmore Hotel and I practiced. I was gonna wow it because see, we had the speaker that came to our school and spoken. I don't remember what he spoke about, but I remember that he was so good with his stories and he was so emotionally engaging that even the eighth grade boys on the bleacher sat still. And at that moment I thought, wow, that's what I want to do. I want to be able to speak and impact people like that. Now, I had no idea of what I would talk about or anything, but that was the seed that was planted in my heart. So when I got to the Biltmore Hotel, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, here I am, 18 years old, and man, I've arrived, okay, right? And so I get up and I talk and I give my talk and I've got it polished and I am good. And then they have us, they take the chairs and they set the chairs. So the chairs, the back of the chairs or our backs when we sit on them are going to be to the audience. So when they get a picture, they're standing back by the curtain and they're getting a picture. So we're all sitting there in these chairs and the audience is in the background. So we have this, you know, memoir, you know, for ourselves. Plus they've got this to show. Well, Grace has never been my middle name. And so, and I was a lot littler than I am now. And so I go to sit in this chair and the back of the legs slide off the stage. And I go head over heels about 3 feet down onto the bottom. And they all come rushing up. Are you okay? Are you okay? And I, obviously I wanted to die. And the only thing I could think of to say was, did my underwear show? Well, of course it did. I had a mini skirt on, you know, it was the 70s. And I was just so mortified. And at that moment I thought, I am never putting myself in that position again, never. And my dream just kind of shriveled up at that moment because of one situation.
Isn't that funny how we'll have something happen and it just seems to like put this block on our dreams, our desire to move forward. But sometimes I think there's a lesson in that. Sometimes we're not ready for that adventure and we have so many other things we need to learn about ourselves and create maybe new experiences that help us become the person we really want to become. So can you tell us a little bit more about your experiences and how you eventually created the confidence to go ahead and be a speaker?
Sure. So I, you know, I got married at 19 and I went to, you know, vocational school, became a medical secretary for Mayo Clinic, which is bias, hated it, but you know, cause you do the same thing all the time, ended up having two beautiful, incredible daughters. And I hated my job. I just wasn't, it just, there was nothing left. I was definitely the person who had a stomachache on Sunday night because I had to go to work on Monday. My marriage was less than ideal. I was, I didn't have a lot of self-confidence growing up. Matter of fact, I was one of those kids that I'm so old, like I said, that our class pictures were, you know, we didn't have individual pictures each year. It was a class picture. So by the time I was in the third grade, the kids were begging me not to come to school on that day because I was so ugly. I ruined the picture for everybody. And so this was in my head. And so when I remember very consciously when I was in middle school that I realized that if I'm so ugly, the only way I'm ever going to get someone to want to marry me and get to know me is if I develop a really fun and great personality. And so that's what I set out to do. And so when this, my first husband, when we got married, he said, well, nobody else will marry you. You might as well marry me. I thought, you know, that's probably true. So this was my chance to have kids. Not exactly a basis to start a great marriage on, right? And you know, and so at any rate, he left me for another woman, nicest thing he ever did for me. And so then I ended up on a blind date. I met this other gentleman that friends have been trying to tell me to meet for some time. Oh, you need to meet him. You need to meet him. You need to meet him. Then this woman, the husband of some friends called me up and he says, well, we'd like to invite you over for dinner, you and your daughters. And I thought, oh, that's great, because she's such a great cook. I wouldn't have to cook on a Friday night after work. And he says, well, there's somebody who wants to meet you. And I said, well, if it's Chuck Henry, I'm not coming. I am sick of having his name shoved down my throat. And the guy just laughed. He says, the guy doesn't want to marry you. He just wants to meet you. I thought, fine, because she was still a good cook. And so I went ahead and went. Well, we met on that Friday night, Chuck and I. And then we got together with his two kids and my two kids on Saturday night. Then on Sunday, we decided we would get married. And 5 years later, or 5 weeks later, we got married. And that's been 32 years ago. So we got married really quickly, ended up where we had a couple of children. When I married Chuck, he was a farmer. And because of his two kids being here and my two kids and everything, he just said, quit your job. Let's go from here. And that's what I did. Well, I decided to get my real estate license. And so I got my real estate license, loved it, did a really, 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 had a blast, met some amazing people, did $1 million in real estate in a year in sales. And that's back when, where I live, houses were like, the average house was like $50,000. So that was a lot of business. Then I got pregnant with child number 5. So we just always count them as our kids. It's not like his and hers, and they're all our kids. So what's good for one is good for all. And that's the rules for one are the rules for all. That's the way it's always been. So when I got pregnant, being in real estate was really, really hard. And I was, about 35 or something at the time. And then we had her, and we hadn't anticipated having more children, but we knew that because the other kids were older, I think our youngest was 11 or 12 when our fifth one was born, we decided to have another one because she'd have a playmate. I mean, that's the perfect reason, because there was no physical reason not to have one. So we ended up and we had this other child. Well, I got to tell you, I couldn't do real estate and be a mom of 6. Call me Susie Slacker, couldn't do it. And so I left that and I did some other things, and I eventually became a mortgage lender, within a couple of years of doing that, because I had more control over my time. But I got involved in networking groups and going to networking groups and marketing, the mortgage industry, while trying to manage, having the 6 kids and having the farm and everything like that. And the woman who owned the franchise for the networking organization, B&I, saw something in me that I thought had died. And she saw my potential, not just as a leader, but as an influencer, as somebody who could speak and not just talk at people, but actually engage them in emotionally as well as intellectually and psychologically, so that they took what I was teaching and they could apply it and actually get better results. And because of her opportunities that she gave me, I was able to develop this gift and talent that had been with me all of the time. And that's how I got back into speaking. But I gotta tell you, when I started, I was so scared that my paper would shake like that. I would have to read my notes. And over time, when I forgot about myself and I became so immersed in seeing the impact, seeing those light bulb moments and having the stories of how they were able to make a mortgage payment now because they had applied something I taught in their business. Because these were groups of people from all different professions, not just one profession. And so because of some of the workshops I'd written, I now had a team of 16, and we were responsible for the coaching and training of over 700 business professionals every 6 weeks. And all this was based on how do you do referral marketing. And it wasn't more than just doing it in person to person, which was really big. But now I had taken those same principles and adapted them to doing online. So this was back in 2009, 2010, when the internet was still, and Facebook was pretty much in its infancy. And how do you take those same things and build connections, build relationships, build that trust and credibility? And that's how I got back into the speaking.
Oh, that it is not just amazing you had a dream, and then your life, you had, you know, something that made you not pursue that. And it's fascinating, because if you had pursued it at that young age, you might not have the life you have right now. You might not have been able to become that person that you so admired. I hear in you that you achieved that goal when you said, I want to be like him. I want to be able to impact people and have them feel good about who they are and have something that they heard and made their life better.
You know, and at 18 or 19, I didn't know squat. You know, I lived in a little town. I hadn't been through some, you know, I wasn't some recovering drug addict. I mean, I hadn't been through any of that stuff where sometimes people get up and they can create those Me Too moments and share and impact lives. I didn't have any of that. I had to go through these other experiences in life before I could have a better understanding, not just of human nature and having six kids of all these different ages. Trust me, you really have to figure out how to get through to them in a way that makes them want to go with you, because you sure can't drag them, not very far. And I think at the same time, I had to get to know myself and develop and understand my skills and my strengths, as well as those things that I don't do well. You know, and so it's in that journey of becoming and evolving that I finally found my voice. I found my message. I found my passion. And that became so strong that my fear was dwarfed because I couldn't sit back any longer. Then all of a sudden the opportunity came and I said yes. How many times, Robin, if you look back over your life, has an opportunity came, but we let ourselves, we let our fears, we let those things in our head keep us from stepping into who we truly are and who we truly should become.
Oh, I agree. There are many times that I've sat back and said, you know, I came to that Y in the road, I went right, but what if I had gone left? What if I had truly listened to that intuition? What if I had honored that little voice in my head? What would have my life been like? But then at the same time, I really like who I am now. And I think it's important to honor when we did make mistakes, we still created an amazing life for ourselves. And we're still able to find that little bit of personal power within ourselves and to be able to define our gifts and skills through making mistakes and, you know, not choosing the right partner and not choosing the right job, because it teaches us what we don't want so that we can look and create what we really do want.
Yeah, and I think that all of those experiences, I mean, I learned a lot from my first marriage and I don't regret it. I have two amazing daughters and I definitely knew what I didn't want if I ever got married again. And so there's a lot to be said for that. And so you don't repeat the same mistakes. But I don't think, you know, like you talked about coming to a fork in the road and you, the only thing you can do is your best at that moment. It's easy to sit back and say, well, I should have done this or I should have done that. But I think we have to give ourselves some grace. And when we serve with our heart and we lead with our heart and we're in tune with our heart, we realize that all we can do is the best we can do right now and make the best decisions for us at this time and allow ourselves the grace to move forward and embrace what's ahead rather than worrying about what might have been.
Yes, absolutely. And I just have to kind of have to dive into this a little, because I just think it is so cute that you didn't want to meet the husband you have now, and that within 5 weeks of meeting each other, you were married. That's just, isn't that funny how sometimes when you're meant to meet a person, it happens no matter what you do to prevent it.
Well, and we had a lot of mutual friends in common. We had just never met. And my opinion after my first marriage was no man was better than most men. And I mean, I was so jaded I truly was. And so to have this, and I have to tell you, we went, like I said, she was a really good cook. And so we're eating dinner and Chuck and I start talking, and he's unlike any farmer I'd ever met and things like that. But the host and hostess got up and left the room and we didn't even notice. I mean, how funny is that?
I love it when we make those connections and we have those synchronicities in our life and we just know that this person is going to be a part of our life, and even if it's just on a friendship level. But I'm so happy that you guys found that connection and were able to create this amazing life. Now, you also have an amazing business and you help women. And like I said, I took your Facebook course and absolutely loved us. So could you tell us a little bit about what you offer as your business skills?
So what I am is I have a lot of different skills from speaking and coaching. And my goal is to help women step into their, because when you're an influencer, you have a bigger voice, a bigger platform, so you can share and impact in a much bigger way. So the free 5-day challenge that you took is how to become an influencer in your niche. And so what we do is, you know, it's a little similar what you do is we talk a lot in the beginning about, well, on day one, what we do is we address all that crud that's in your head. We all have baggage, and especially as women. Now, I've never been a man, so I don't know. But as women, we have all these things about I'm not worthy, and I'm not this, and I'm not that. And I was listening to something the other day because I've always struggled with how do I explain that in a way. And I don't know if you ever see boats, and a lot of boats that go out on lakes, if they're leaving that lake, they have all of these, you know, different water and soaps and disinfectants that they're supposed to wash the outside of their boat with. And these are canoes and paddle boards, all of those things, so that any barnacles or any type of creature that has attached itself that you can't maybe physically see is taken care of. You don't spread that to another lake, because some of them are very insidious, and they'll go in and then they just create havoc in a lake and change the balance, etc. And so as I was traveling to and from Utah over this past week, every between state borders, people, if they had boats or kayaks or canoes or anything, they had to stop and those toys, for lack of a better word, water toys, were looked at very carefully to make sure that nothing was coming in to those lakes in their state. And that's kind of with our thoughts. You know, we have these lies and beliefs and stories that we've sold to ourselves as we were growing up. And we don't even realize a lot of times that they're there. And that's what a lot of my clients tell me is, oh my gosh, all of a sudden when we're going through this exercise, this came to mind. I hadn't thought about that for years. And you know, a lot of it happens before, you know, before we're 5-6 years old. So we try and attach these little kid thought processes and logic to something that's much bigger than what we are. And it's like, well, money makes people fight, so I don't want to have money. Or, you know, blah, blah, you know, I mean, on and on. Or I'm not worthy, or I shouldn't talk. I'm always interrupted, so that means I have nothing important to say. So what we do specifically in day one is we go through this and we address that. And it's not just where we're talking about it. One of the gifts I have is the ability to clear and delete those things that come up. And you'll have the ability to do that afterward, because things will keep coming up. I mean, how cool is that? If you haven't succeeded with all the products and courses and coaching you've bought, it's up here. It's not because you're not worthy. It's not because you don't know what you're doing. There's something else stopping you. It's not your fault. So let's get to the root of it. So then what we do is we talk about the heart and the mind alignment. I like to think of the mind as masculine, heart as feminine. So we can align those. And you talk a lot about being heart-centered, about having that heart alignment so that we can serve in a better way, but not give everything away. It's where we're serving without being a martyr or a doormat, because we're also serving serving ourselves at the same time. Then we get into some tactical things. And one of the things that, as an influencer, if you want to become an influencer fast, it's not about social media, posting just on social media. I mean, was it less than 1% of your friends will actually see? Well, I think it's less than 3% of your friends will see a post that you put on your social media profile, on your personal profile, and less than 1% of your fans, if you've got a business page, will actually see it. You can't build an empire that way. You can't change massive amounts of lives that way. And so what I do is I teach you three different strategies that will help expand and grow this in a much faster way, but that still allows you to tap into who you are, how you want to serve, and how to serve in a way that impacts them, but also helps you at the same time.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. Excuse me. One of the epiphanies that I had is that I, because of, you know, my failed marriages and things like that, somehow I had the idea that I could only be happy in either having a job and creating money or being in a marriage, because every time that I had combined being marriage and a career, I always had to give up my career to make the person in my life happy. And so for me, the fear of becoming wealthy or well-known was because I thought I would have to give up any hope of ever being in a relationship. So making money made me sad. And it wasn't until, you know, we go through these exercises that even gave me my aha moment. I was like, wow, I had no idea that I associated success with sadness and failure.
And then once you know, and we clear it, you can move forward. But if you don't know that it's there, you know, and I talk to a lot of people who they do that for a living, you know, they kind of help coach people through that. And yet for some reason, we have trouble doing it with ourselves. I mean, I had to learn it from somebody else because I couldn't figure it out on my own. It's like, you're too close. So I love that you had that epiphany. And again, it's these things that we sit there and we think, how did that even happen? And yet it doesn't make any difference. It did. Now it's cleared. You can move forward. And I'm sure, Robin, as much as I love you and the way your heart is so warm and open and you're so personable, the right guy is out there waiting for you. It's just a matter of opening it up so he can come in. And at the same time, now that you know this and you've done the work, you're able to repel those people who would have you give up the career and have to choose them instead. I mean, is that just kind of like a miracle or what?
Yeah, it is kind of like a miracle or what. And you know what? If it happens, I'll let you know. Okay, so Sue, this is the part of our podcast where you get to tell people how to find you.
How do you find me? So here's what I'd like to do. I want to create a world of women who make an incredible impact. So what I do is I help women become movement makers. So if you go to https://whatever, womenmovementmakers.com, that will take you and explain the challenge. I do it every month. So we'll have the current date. You can sign up for it if you like what you see, everything like that. Otherwise, if you want to read blogs, if you want other information, go to suehenrytalks.com. suehenrytalks.com, because no one gets a silent treatment from me. My husband should be so lucky.
And then it's just under Sue Henry in Facebook. Is that right?
No, it's Sue Henry Talks. Because there's a lot of Sue Henrys out there. So it's Sue Henry Talks. And so if you do Sue Henry Talks, I think that's my personal profile. Sue Henry - Influencer is my public page.
Oh, wow. Sue, thank you so much for being my guest today. I thoroughly enjoy your stories. You have lived such a fascinating life. And honestly, ladies, she's got way more stories. We just hit the tip of the iceberg. You will so enjoy taking her course. She's very personable and she really cares about you. And Sue, thank you again for being my guest today.
Thank you so much, Robin. And you know, you don't have to wait until you meet this guy. Let's stay in a lot more touch than that, okay?
Oh, awesome. I would love it.
Perfect. Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me as a guest. You know I love you.
Oh, I love you too, Sue. Okay, so this is Robin Sheridan, Spirit Whisper of Higher Consciousness, helping women connect to their hearts, their minds, their bodies, and soul. I will see you next time for the next coffee chat.